Now tonight we're going to read together the Word of God in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and we will commence to read at the verse 9. Acts chapter 16 and verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. We'll close at the verse 24. We pray that the Lord will bless the public reading of his own word, uniting our hearts now in prayer as we come to the text. Our loving Father, we do thank thee tonight for our Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom thou hast charged us to proclaim, to make his name known, to glory in his cross. And we have to say before thee, who is sufficient for these things? O Lord, our sufficiency is of thee. Thou art our wisdom, our strength, our all in all. And we pray that none will leave, whether young or old, none will leave this service in a quandary as to what they must do to be saved. O Lord, may the message be clear and plain. Christ receiveth sinful men. Breathe upon us then, giving wisdom and grace. We ask it in our Savior's name. Amen. In the verse 17 of this 16th chapter, the young woman who was possessed with an evil spirit, she said of Paul and Silas, "They show unto us the way of salvation." They show unto us the way of salvation. Wherever the gospel was preached in the days of the apostles, it encountered opposition. That was the case in Jerusalem, in Cyprus, in Asia Minor, and it was now true in Philippi. Christianity ran counter to the religious interests of the Jews. In Philippi, it ran contrary to the personal interests of the Greeks and to the national interests of the Romans. A young woman who was demon-possessed followed the apostles in mockery, in a derogatory way. She cried out, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Her words were not meant to be complimentary, but designed to bring the preachers into disrepute. Her cry was designed to raise the suspicion that the preachers were in league with the devil. Satan overstepped himself. This was, in fact, a true account of the apostles' lives and witness. In every place, they bent all their energy to proclaim salvation. No preacher can honor God, magnify the Savior, cause souls to be prepared for a happy eternity, except he shows to his hearers the way of salvation. I trust that no one present will be a stranger to it. Here is a must for all of us, young and old. Other ways in life you may miss. The way to fame, the way to fortune, the way to notoriety and nobility. You may miss all of those ways. But I pray, God, that you will not miss the way of salvation. There are four things to consider here together as we think of this text. The way of salvation, first of all, is desperately needed. The cry of this demon-possessed girl, though raised with a spurious motive, it indicates that even the heathen in their darkness had some understanding of the deplorable state of fallen man and of the need of salvation. When we turn to the Word of God, we see just how desperately we need salvation. In the beginning, in Noah's day, God looked down to earth with his all-seeing eye. And here is what he saw in the words of Genesis chapter 6 and verse 12 concerning the earth. "Behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." No exceptions. All flesh had corrupted his way. The verse 5 of Genesis 6 indicates that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Nothing has changed. The heart of every individual is still desperately wicked, incurably wicked, as far as any human resource is concerned. The Lord, speaking of the heart of mankind in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19, the Lord tells us, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And note in this verse where the Lord begins, not with murders or fornication, but with our evil thoughts. Not all have committed murder, adultery, stolen another person's belongings, though the potential to do all of those things and more is in the depraved heart. The Lord begins revealing what is in us in this verse 19 of Matthew 15. The Lord begins with evil thoughts. And that includes us all. None can truthfully say, Lord, I am innocent of the great transgression. This telling question is asked by Solomon in Proverbs 20 and verse 9. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Who can say such a thing? The answer is obvious. No one. For there is none righteous, no, not one. Job, searching for the answer to the question in Job 9, verses 30 and 31, how shall a man be just with God? Job says, if I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. You see, no efforts of yours, no amount of religious observances can take away the natural depravity of the heart or satisfy the demands of God's holy law. Because of your sin, original and actual, you are condemned already, due to be excluded from heaven forever. Revelation 21 and verse 27 says of the land that is fairer than day, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. How desperately you need the way of salvation. It is the one thing that is needed. Spiritually speaking, all is lost. Your soul is lost. If you fail to find the way of salvation, the Bible refers to it as a must. You must be saved. Oh, that you would recognize that. See to it now. It's too late when you waken up in hell, forever undone. The way of salvation, secondly, has been dearly purchased. The question of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3 is, how shall ye escape if ye neglect so great salvation? And here's how salvation is described as being so great. But it's so neglected by society, by people on every side tonight. They can see nothing great about God's salvation in their natural blindness. But it is so great because it was so dearly purchased. How are black hearts made whiter than the snow? How are condemned souls saved from the wrath to come? The only scriptural answer is by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, the Bible says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. The verse takes us back to the Old Testament types and shadows. The sprinkling and the washing of those days was a foreshadowing of the washing from sin through the blood of the Lamb of God. We read in Isaiah 53 and verse 7, how the Lord was oppressed and he was afflicted. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. On the cross, the Son of God took the sinner's place. He endured the punishment due to the sin of all for whom he died. He suffered on the cross the torments of hell. He cried out, I thirst, for hell is the place of unquenchable thirst. Calvary was cloaked in darkness. Why? For hell is the place of outer darkness. At Calvary, the heart-piercing cry went up, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For hell is the place where sinners unrepentant are forsaken and damned forever. The Lord could not have been the way to heaven for us if he had not suffered for us the torments of hell. He could not be for us the way of life if he had not first gone the way of death. His blood is the Red Sea through which guilty sinners pass to the heavenly Canaan. His crucified flesh is the rent veil through which we enter into the holiest of all. No wonder the apostle said to the Christians at Corinth, ye are bought with a price, no less a price than the blood of God incarnate could pay for sin's pardon. Open the gate of heaven and let us in. Oh, how far short your works fall. If you could merit acceptance with God, then Christ's work on the cross was the greatest of all mistakes. But listen, Calvary was no mistake. It was the wisdom of God displayed in all its fullness, love and compassion. And is it nothing to you that Christ has died? God's salvation, this way opened up, enabling you to be saved from your sin. Is it nothing to you? Do you despise, do you reject the Son of God? the way of salvation dearly purchased, you reject it at your eternal peril. But then we can say, thirdly, that the way of salvation has been divinely revealed. Paul said to Timothy, in the words of 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, "From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." The scriptures, God's word, it brought light, gospel light, into Timothy's heart. It revealed to him the way of salvation. We are not left to our own judgment, to the speculation of others. The way of salvation, men and women, is divinely revealed. The patriarchs knew only one way. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew no way of salvation but through Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8 and verse 56, the scriptures tell us the Lord is speaking to the Jews, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." On Mount Moriah, he saw beyond the ram that was caught in the thicket, the substitute for Isaac. And he saw that day a wonderful unveiling and revelation of Calvary. He saw the Lamb of God and was glad. The prophets knew no other way. In Acts chapter 10, and the verse 43, "To him," speaking of Christ, "to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." The apostles, they knew no other way. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 2, "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." The Lord, in response to the doubts and the questionings of Thomas, he said in John 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Jesus Christ spans the gulf between man the sinner and God who is holy and just. You can only be reconciled with God through the Son. It's like a man trapped in a burning building. A ladder is put up to the window. He must come down that ladder or perish in the flames. It's like one seriously ill. There's only one medicine that can bring the cure, and it's there on the locker by the bedside. The patient must take it or die. The Lord's is the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You must receive by faith the Christ of God, whom the scriptures reveal, or else perish forever. The Lord said, "I am the door. There are not many doors, but one." Oh, may you come to that gospel life gate this evening. Come to the Savior without delay. And then finally, we can say that the way of salvation can be definitely experienced. The man who was born blind in John 9, he could not answer all the queries that the Jews were hurling at him. But he could say, whereas I was blind, now I see. His eyes, the eyes of his understanding, had been opened to see what he must do to be saved. He had a spiritual eye-opening experience in salvation. Zacchaeus, only intent on accumulating the riches of earth, as the Lord passed through Jericho, Zacchaeus was saved. He got greater riches than gold can buy. He received the key to treasures in the sky. The jailer on the verge of eternity and troubled about his state before God, the Lord saved him. Saul of Tarsus, blind, persecuting zealot, leading sinner, chiefest of sinners, the Lord saved his soul on the Damascus road. This demon-possessed girl in Acts 16, Paul spoke the name of Christ, and the devil's chains were broken. The way of salvation can be definitely experienced. We have the words of the Lord in John 6 and verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, he that trusteth in me, hath, here and now, hath everlasting life. Oh, trust him. The Lord will save. Save to the uttermost all who come unto God by him. May you join those who say, I need no other argument. I want no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. How were the early Christians known? They were known as those of the way. The way. They, by faith, by the hearing of the Word of God, the preaching of the gospel, they experienced personally the way of salvation. Oh, may you have the experience of the new birth this night. It's only as that is the case, it's only then that it will be well with your never-dying soul. The demon-possessed girl, in derision, in mockery, said, these men, the servants of the Most High God, show unto us the way of salvation. May you tonight come to the way everlasting. By repentance, by breaking off with your sin and saving faith in Jesus Christ, may you experience eternal life. It's the gift of God. May you, by faith, receive this so great salvation. We will